You should be warned, the upcoming episode will be full of unfiltered, off-the-cuff discussion. As such, you should consider this your spoiler warning.
Hello, my name is Kyle.
And I'm Ryan.
And when our powers combine, we form
Experience Grind podcast.
The podcast where, for better or worse, for good or bad, we grind out every experience presented to us and give you our honest opinion on those experiences. This is a very, very, very special month for us, Ryan.
I wouldn't say that, but it's something new.
It's our first big special we've attempted. This is the month of September. And so all September long, we are reviewing stoner movies.
Mm-hmm.
Hence the title, Stoner Movie September.
We picked a really important cause for our special.
marijuana cancer research.
Not enough, I guess, light given to the stoner community.
Yeah,
I mean,
man.
Seth Rogen doesn't do as much as he could for the stoner community.
Nah.
It's just not out there. People
don't
know.
He's moved on to beer, and he's kind of left the stoner community behind. And that's not cool, Seth Rogen. Not cool, bro.
Mm-hmm.
That was an air clap for Seth Rogen.
That was.
Ah, motherfucking gnat, man. I know exactly what it is. I'm calling out. It's a gnat. So we're going to do a whole big special on stoner movies all this month. We've got some guests lined up. But first off, this first episode is going to be guest-free. It's you and me, buddy.
It is.
Going at it.
A classic episode,
if you will. Yeah, and I think it is going to be very classic because from some of our pre-recording discussions, we're very divided on this first movie we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know going into this that pretty much everybody who listens to our podcast will probably not agree with me.
Maybe.
I think I am the minority because I think everybody loves this movie. But what is this first movie, Kyle?
This movie is the Tour de Force Cannes greatest film winning award winner. Dude, where's my car? Starring Sean William Scott and Ashton Kutcher.
I'm stuck on cons and going to can and then toilet can, and how can I make that into a joke about dude, where's my car, that's somewhat, you know, smart.
So, all right, so all things
it's not coming
out of the way, you don't like this movie.
No, I didn't like it. I didn't hate it. I didn't really dislike it when I saw it when it came out. I saw it and I was like, eh.
Yeah.
Meh.
I saw it in theaters because the theater I worked at had it, and I watched it, and it was great, and I watched it a lot when I worked there.
This could be one of the big things is, how old were you when you saw Dude, Where's My Car?
I was 15 to 16 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So.
It was 2000, so I would have been 14 when
okay.
it came out.
Yeah.
So slightly younger.
Slightly younger. I'd also, I mean, American Pie had come through and.
Did American Pie come out before this?
Yes. American Pie.
Oh,
was.
Then that throws everything out because I ate up American Pie. Like that was. And Road Trip was probably around the same time.
Road
and
Trip
I was okay
was,
with those movies.
I think Road Trip was even before this, too, to be honest with you.
I think so. Yeah, I mean, when did Tom Green's career die? It was a year before that.
Before Dude,
it
Where's My Car?
A year before that. Actually, it might have been a year after that. I don't know.
So I don't really have, I mean, when we get other guests on, I have some ideas of pre-movie discussion, but I don't really have anything for this movie. I'd kind of just like to get into this.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but before we do that, you do have a bumper.
I do have a musical bumper.
A surprise.
It's a surprise.
Which is?
It's probably going to be copyrighted and taken down by YouTube immediately.
Well, as long as we don't monetize it,
so
they don't take it down.
Catch this as quick as you can, but yeah. I'm not going to tell you the surprise until afterwards.
Okay, well, here we go. Here's so, Ryan's musical
enjoy
bumper.
Enjoy this.
For Dude, Where's My Car?
Go back to the dance floor.
So I gotta admit, Ryan, I'm a little intrigued by your fucking choice for bumper there, because at no point at any time in this movie is Smash Mouth referenced or played.
No, it's not.
There's some bad music in this movie, but there's some not so bad stuff you could have gone with.
No, there's a lot of bad music in this movie. There's no score to even think of, so it's just all
it's all just pop
90s butt rock. But it's not even the good ones. It's like,
no way, man. There's Bust a Move.
Oh my god. Fucking Bust a Move. That's it. And then you have like B-sides and deep cuts from Good Charlotte. Like, that's a sentence
is
no
good
one
Charlotte
needs
in
to
this?
Fuck. Yes.
There is pop punk.
There is a Good Charlotte song, and it's not like a popular one. It's not like the anthem or like Lifestyle. All right, Lifestyles of the Rich and the Famous, is that the anthem? I don't know.
No.
Are they the same song?
They are, but they're not. But okay. Yeah. But I mean, but no, honestly,
those are the popular ones. We get like Baby Don't Leave by Good Charlotte. You know that one? No. No one knows that. That soundtrack's garbage. I picked Smash Mouth because, Kyle, this movie is the cinematic equivalent of Smash Mouth.
All right. So here's my big question, and let's go ahead. Let's cheers this and start off on a good note. With our Andre, here we go.
I love you, buddy. I love Andre.
So, all right, so you knew this going in.
Yes.
This is Stoner Movie September.
Yes.
This is not fucking Scorsese's Tour de Force. This is not fucking Akira Kurosawa.
All right.
We're Stoner Movie in it, man.
I see the argument you're going with.
So here's my thing.
It's a bold play. Let's see how it works.
I watched this movie, and dude, here's our one agreement. God, this movie is fucking stupid. It's fucking asininely stupid. But
I love it. No,
it's
Dumb and Dumber is stupid. And then there's Dumb and Dumber 2. And then there's this fucking movie that's at the fucking bottom of dumb.
But it
there
but
aren't
it's still...
even jokes in this movie. There are not jokes. Nothing is, aside from a Rubik's Cube, nothing is set up in this movie. It is literally just, all right.
No, I can already break this one down.
No, there's memorable things, but they
are not jokes. But there are setups and there are jokes because
of the very beginning of the movie. What is the joke in this movie?
Chester is watching Animal Planet and watching chimpanzees use tools.
Yes, that is the other setup.
And then at the very end of the movie, he fucking remembers that and saves the galaxy.
Is that a joke?
You were saying that nothing is a setup outside of the Rubik's Cube, and I was countering that.
I'm sorry. There are two things set up, all relating to Sean William Scott's character.
That is a joke because it's saying he has the basic cognitive ability of a chimpanzee.
That's not a joke. To say somebody or
He's
imply
dumb.
That somebody's dumb as a monkey is not a joke. A joke is like there's a punchline, there's a setup, and then there's payoff. There is no payoff. We know from the very opening scene, this guy's fucking dumb as a monkey because he's mirroring that dumb fucking monkey on the TV.
Yeah, when it's
scratching
its head.
So to make another joke later that is, he's still a dumb fucking monkey, is not a joke.
And Animal Planet saves them again, which the Pierre scene is very, very ridiculous. I do admit that.
All right, hold on. Pierre is the Frenchman?
Yeah, who has the ostrich farm.
Who has fucking Andy Dick in a cage? God damn it. Let me tell you what Hollywood does not need. Andy Dick in anything. He makes everything worse.
No, I would disagree there, too. At this point in time, Andy Dick wasn't a total asshole. Well, you got to remember the context of when this movie was made, which was 2000.
All right. Name one movie or one time Andy Dick is not the worst or most unfunny part of something.
I really like him in News Radio.
He's the worst part of News Radio.
I would disagree. He's the comic stupid
Who
relief.
Is worse than him in News Radio?
Joe Rogan?
No, bullshit. That's horseshit.
I like
and you're
Joe
a Joe
Rogan.
Rogan fan.
I am.
Shame on
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
Shame
but
on you.
Andy Dick makes me laugh more in 30, or in 30 Rock, in fucking News Radio more than Joe Rogan does.
I loved it. I loved Andy Dick in 30 Rock as Kenneth the Page.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. That's nightmare fuel.
I wish it was Jack McBriar in the cage, but I don't think he had the...
Oh, that'd be, yeah.
That would
that'd
be really
be a
good.
Cool, weird choice. But, I mean, it's Andy Dick. It is... Okay, so Andy Dick in News Radio, that's actually a very good point. He is not the Andy Dick persona you know. In this movie, he is the Andy Dick persona you know, who is just weird and off-putting and only exists to rub his nipples and say, like... freakinacage.com, which again is not a joke. Like, somebody has an internet site that's fucking weird. Like, that's not, is that funny?
That part, That is the worst part of it. Like, that part could have not been in the movie. But again, it's...
That's going to be the ebb and flow of this podcast. You're just going to go, I'm going to be, no! That's it. That's for 60 minutes. Just stop watching now.
You're already... Dude, the movie is called Dude, Where's My Car? I think you're taking it a bit too serious. It's a dumb fucking slapstick stoner movie.
No, and this is where I knew this argument was going to come up.
Okay.
And it does not hold because there's a movie called Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle, ironically directed by the same guy, Danny Leitner or something, directed both movies. And I think that is a fantastic, actually intelligent movie. And that's a fucking dumb concept.
Yeah.
It's two stoners walk out and go to White Castle and they have adventures on the way.
I think it was all written with the first joke of a guy saying, dude, where's my car? And the writer built a script around that somehow.
It
is not perfect.
I'd go one further. I agree, but I would also say, everything in this movie feels kind of piecemeal. It seems like skits. This would be funny. You know how you hate going to drive-thrus and you can't understand them? Let's do that. But actually, this is my bias. Make it unfunny and just say, and then, for no reason, over and over and over again.
I enjoy Ashton Kutcher's exaggerated.
Kutcher's the worst.
He is the worst part of this movie, I think. And if
Andy Dick is the worst part. Ashton Kutcher's number two.
I think my biggest thing watching this last time, man, I realized that you can absolutely goddamn Sean William Scott is having fun just shooting this movie. He gets way more into it than Ashton Kutcher does. Ashton Kutcher is thinking that it's like a career killer while he's doing it.
I don't know. Well, it's the same Ashton Kutcher performance that he always does. He didn't seem like he tried.
I mean, he's absolutely being Kelso from that 70s show rather than what the hell else has he done?
He's just done Ashton Kutcher in roles.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're sad roles and sometimes it's slightly happy, but it's always Ashton Kutcher. I'm glad you brought up Sean William Scott because I think even though I think what he's doing, it just doesn't work for me. I think it's good.
Oh, it's so good. It's
very
so fun.
Different. Like he just got done doing Stifler a year or
and
two
it's
before.
Totally not Stifler. And this is not Stifler
it's so
at
different.
All. Yeah.
I can't think of anything Ashton Kutcher's done that's as dramatically different as those two examples.
What was that stupid movie where he goes back in time?
Butterfly Effect.
God. He's really terrible in that and so overly dramatic.
Yeah, well,
because he doesn't know. I don't know. I don't want to talk about that shit though.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about Butterfly Effect yet.
Yeah.
It's not coming. Spoiler alert.
I was surprised again watching this. How many other fucking celebrities were in this movie?
Who went on to
do a lot? But
I was thinking specifically Jennifer Garner. How she's gone on to become bigger.
Oh yeah, she blew up
both of them, and she's one of the worst parts.
You have
imaginable
Charlie O'Connell, Jerry O'Connell's brother.
Who's he?
He was the head jock guy who wants to beat him up.
He looked like an O'Connell. I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's the brother.
Huh.
What?
I didn't know he was anybody.
Yeah,
but it does look like an O'Connell now.
He was also in I think it was Sequest or Deep's.
Oh, yeah,
ESV. I don't know. Something. It was some shitty sci-fi channel show, but he was on that.
I know what you're talking about, but I don't remember any of it.
It also has the guy from Office Space, Michael Bolton. I cannot fucking remember his name, and I'm sorry, dude.
I know.
He will never listen to this stuff.
In so many things.
Yeah. Chrissy Boner is, I forget who
Chrissy Swanson. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That hurts me, just see.
Character?
All right. I don't think the jokes work. I would argue there aren't jokes. It's just a series of scenes that just I don't find funny. I get people do. Again, I really do feel like I'm in the minority.
I think you might be too.
And this is where my Smash Mouth analogy came in. Was like Smash Mouth exploded. People really liked it and then forgot about it. And it doesn't get mentioned up. Nobody brings it up in a day-to-day conversation now. Just like do
words with that analogy, I will totally
That's where I was going with that.
There.
And to that extent, I just don't think there's anything in this movie that's worth revisiting. And do you disagree?
I will say this. I know that you have done more for this special we're doing, Stoner Movie September. I have watched This is my third one I've watched for the show right now, and I tell you, this is the one I've laughed at the most. And I feel like if I was stoned, I would laugh even more because it's so dumb. And you disagree.
I can't disagree more, man. Yeah. It's I was smirked laughing, to myself one time.
Which was
And it was a joke I don't even think they were intending to make, but they walk into the barn, and it's not the, well, it's not red, it's not a barn. But as soon as they're in, I think Chester goes, "This is kind of creepy in here." And Jesse goes, "Yeah, it's like a country music video." And just like the weird, like, association that country music videos are weird made me chuckle. I was like, "That's an interesting idea." That's your one. Like, that's kind of funny.
I didn't remember too when they said it's not red, so it's not a barn. I'm like, "What are they going for there?" I don't get this.
Because in picture books, the barns are red always.
Yeah, and they're dumb, I guess.
And that's it. That's it. They're just really dumb. And, all right. And furthermore, if we're just talking about like dumb, crude, immature humor, you know what movie I do like? Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Oh, yeah.
That is like 1 year later, so not. Not too distant from this. I dig that, but like I cannot dig this movie. So it's not the fact that it's just like, oh, Ryan dumb, can't stupid. Have fun at dumb, stupid stuff. No, I do. Like, and
this is very I think surprising throughout the to me, rest though, of, like, se-
and I'll get into it. But like, I have to get in my little soapbox, and I'm sorry, fucking trigger's gonna be pushed. I don't know what a trigger warning is, but I'm gonna make them trigger warnings.
Oh God, don't do trigger warnings.
This movie sucks. Like it just sucks on a script level.
Yeah,
I mean, so badly put together. It is badly edited. But the worst thing is this movie is just wrongheaded and should be forgotten. Because any scene you point to contains misogyny, homophobia, transphobia, you know, xenophobia. Like, there are so many bad stereotypes. The French men might be the worst, but like there's also really bad Asian stereotypes in this movie. But the worst is like all the woman shaming, like woman hate in this movie. Like slut and bitch get used so much. And then like if you think about the arc of this movie, it is two idiots have to buy their girlfriends gifts. Girlfriends who don't have fucking names. They're just called the twins.
No, they do. It's Wanda and Wilma.
Do Jesse and Chester ever say that?
Yeah.
Or do they only refer to them as
They do refer
the
to
twins?
Them as the twins a lot, and they're introduced to those twins.
But they're on a quest to find a gift because they're shitty boyfriends while barely avoiding temptation to get pleasure from these women alien robot things that, I don't know, whatever. That in that whole scene later when the giant robot happens is nothing but schlocky.
Yeah,
I'm a nerd in my basement beating off to this bullshit.
It is schlocky, stupid fun.
But every scene has something like that in it where it's just so offensive.
I don't find it offensive. I think
I've got a list.
Oh, I'm sure you do. I think, dude, I was more offended watching 16 Candles than I was at this. Even though at one point they do drop fag. And I was like,
they do drop fag. And when
I was very surprised even at the year 2000 that's happened. And I'm like, wow, that's kind of weird. That was the only one that I could totally see being even somewhat offensive in this day and age.
All right. So it's not offensive, but it's just what it is it's so juvenile teenage boy. And I am fucking so beyond that in my life right now. Like, it is literally like, let's go to a strip club because we've not seen that in every movie. And like, oh, wait. You know, there's just a line of people who gave Sean William Scott's character a lap dance last night. And then on cue, they're all wearing white t-shirts and pour it on their breasts so you can see right through. And it's like already like I'm starting to be turned off. I'm like, OK. And then the scene continues where it's really bad. Ashton Kutcher, I keep wanting to say, is Keanu Reeves because, you know, what Dude, Where's My Car is just a bad version of Bill and Ted. This is a very bad version of Bill and Ted.
What it reminded me of.
But that scene, real quick. That scene then goes on to just be a tranny stripper is now pushing on Ashton Kutcher for money that they lent to him last night. And, like, really the only joke in that whole scene is she has a dick. And it's not like the Jim Carrey of Ventura where it's, like, a quick glance, there's a dick, haha, done. Cut it. Like, that's all you need. this fucking movie feels the need to show you every fucking mirror, every shot you can of that goddamn dick. So by the time I was done, I could fucking paint you a portrait, like a police portrait of that dick. I had seen it so much. And it's like, not only is that not bad humor to like cut when you should cut and just make it speedy and trust your audiences are smart enough to pick on the joke, but that just revels in like, ha ha ha, you kissed a girl that has a dick and that's the joke. It's lazy, it's uninspired, and it's a little insulting. I just don't understand how an adult can watch this and be okay with this.
Because again, as you said, I mean, this movie was written for teenage boys. That is the target market. And I feel a lot of nostalgia when I do watch it. And it's dumb, stupid teenage boy jokes, man. I'm still a dude. I'm still a teenage boy at heart a lot of times. I'm going to laugh at dumb shit, man. I like...
Yeah.
I mean...
And again, I want to put it out there. Like, I laugh at dumb shit. Like, if somebody, like, slips and farts, like, that's hilarious to me. And it will always be funny. Like, there are dumb dick and farts jokes I laugh at. And it's just... For some reason, it feels wrong-headed here. Like almost mean-spirited.
I don't... See, and I never got that.
Or cynical, maybe.
I can pick up mean-spirited. I think it was just... I think you got it right when you said cheap... But I don't feel any animosity in it. It's just, and again, at the time when this movie was made, how many other comedies in the 2000s made jokes with like cross-dressing chicks or?
I just said Ace Ventura, and that was like 6 years before.
Before
6 years before that, we're beating an old joke at that point. Well,
there is a lot of old jokes, and there was one that I'm trying to remember what it was, and I was like, son of a bitch, that's like word for word. This other joke, I cannot remember what it is.
That sounds really familiar. I feel like you might be onto something. Like I thought I noticed that too.
I'll try to come back to it.
Yeah, if you do remember, that'd be really.
I really like the just the complete asinine ignorance of Chester. I like again. You said when they're in the barn scene, when Jesse's just trying to tell him to grab the fire extinguisher and hit the guys over the head, and the first time Chester's just like, oh yeah. And doesn't do anything. And so then Jesse sneaks over, picks up the fire extinguisher, mimes hitting them, and then puts the fire extinguisher back. And it's still, I mean, it's so dumb, dude. It's very almost Looney Tunes-esque at that point.
Like, it is. I actually had that written down, like, as soon as the opening kind of pans out and then they start getting hit by people with the cars, I'm like, well, clearly we're not in reality anymore. And this is just fucking imagination land.
Yeah.
So, like, I was able to check out, but All right.
Oh, I remember what it was.
Yes, please go before.
So the stealing joke, and this will tie in spoilers to another Stoner movie, September, but they have the dude that lives in the fucking closet, who neither of them are friends are, which is very similar to guy on the couch from Half Baked, who was just guy on the couch who was like,
yeah.
Oh, I thought he was your friend. No, I thought he was your friend. That is again, it's nothing new. And Gene, thankfully, Gene is a very small part overall in
I think that's the only time. It's just that one joke.
He never turns around to like move the plot along, unlike guy on couch from Half Baked, which is. But again, it's that's a retired, repeated joke that I've seen done better in another movie, and yeah. It was kind of like there's no purpose at all for Gene. Like I feel it's completely
no.
There are a lot of things like that. I do feel this movie could have been better.
I also
better
think the whole...
About 15 minutes shorter.
The nerd subplot, like, I don't know if that really
belongs
in this movie
either. Yeah, why are they there?
Either.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I get that it transitions into this weird, like, almost Men in Black style comedy at the end.
It's maybe setting up all the space stuff.
Yeah.
I totally...
But
again...
Their scenes just really kill any flow. And I don't think this movie has a good flow to begin with, but them specifically, like, I noticed it just coming to a halt.
The only good part is that it's a... I really like Hal Sparks as Zoltan.
That's a note I put down too. Is I was happy to see Hal Sparks.
Yeah.
I don't think he's funny in this. I don't think he's given anything to do.
Not really.
Except
no.
Be Hal Sparks and say he lives in it. And that's the other nerds living in their parents' basement. Like it's just the easy joke.
It's all the easy joke. Yeah.
And that's my issue with this movie. Is like there are many other dumb comedies that we will get to and I will love. And I will say it's because there's something new in them. Like, I don't feel like
there was
anything really different in this movie from other ones. Or anything in this movie that I couldn't get elsewhere that has done it better. Do you agree or disagree?
I don't know. Again, I don't know how much of this movie is rose-colored glasses nostalgia. But, and my defense of it is that I get what you're saying a lot there. But, you know, sometimes with all the vast flavors, sometimes, goddammit, vanilla ice cream is good. And that's what you want. And that's what I'm feeling
but
here.
But it's not like, even done well. So it's like a pile of melted ice cream. So you're just drinking up hot, warm ice cream
done well.
Soup.
Sometimes I just want to put on something stupid and laugh like a fucking teenage boy again. Like,
I feel like there are so many other movies. And like I can American name Pie? Like 10. Yeah, like any of the American Pies before Wedding. And then you got Road Trip, you got Euro Trip.
I don't think Euro Trip's very good. I think Road Trip's way better.
Euro Trip's, absolutely better than Euro Trip. But Euro Trip's a fucking masterclass compared to this movie.
Maybe I need to watch it again. Again, that was another
Scotty doesn't know. Is
the greatest part of that
there's
movie.
There's other funny stuff in that movie.
But that's Alone, the only thing anybody remembers from Euro Trip.
All right, that's a very good segue. Thank you, Ryan. Pat myself on my shoulder. Vinnie Jones is in that movie as a cameo when they're on the Manchester United bus in Euro Trip.
Okay.
And they're traveling around and Vinnie Jones shows up, and that's a perfect use of Vinnie Jones. My issue also with this movie is the cameos are fucking pointless. Like, Fabio is probably the biggest one. He shows up when Jesse and Chester are driving their new car after we have, like, the dumbest fucking music video that I don't know.
This whole movie feels like it was a music video director.
Yes, it does.
Which I get
that's
the
also
same
my notes. Every 3 to 5 minutes, there's like a song and like a quick change to a scene.
It's a lot like Alien Resurrection, which was also, I think that director had not done anything outside of music videos.
That is.
And then they gave
that's the guy who did Amelie, right? That's the guy who did Amelie and a few others. Delicatessen, City of Lost Children or something.
He did City of Lost Children and Alien Resurrection?
And Alien Resurrection. Man. Yeah, you know, because the guy in the wheelchair in Alien Resurrection, that weird short little Frenchman, is in all of his movies. Like, that's his Uma Thurman.
Well,
like,
City of Lost Children is a great movie. How did he get from, like, the one thing
Alien
I remember
Resurrection
about Resurrection
is, like, the dip in his resume. Yeah, like, it's the one
it's
thing
shot
that sticks
like a music
out.
Video with these quick cuts and all, and that's going on a lot. It doesn't work so well in an action movie. It doesn't bother me in this,
I would say it does bother me in this, but for that Alien Resurrection, I think a lot of it is probably behind-the-scenes studio interference.
Could have been
but,
too.
Like, because the internet wasn't around back then, like it was now, like, you don't hear about it. Because in 96, nobody's on the internet being like, I heard this in the studio today. There's trouble. But this movie is shot a lot like that. Yeah, you're right.
It's very music video-esque.
It's almost like, and I feel, and this could be wrong or whatever, but it feels to me like a movie that was made and the studio didn't really get the screenings they want, so they cut out, like, key parts. So then it is just like, now they're here, and then we're going to jump to here in the story, and now they're here. That's why you see a lot of the really weird transition effects. The worst, oh my God. The worst one being the fucking boob swirls.
Yes, yes.
This movie is so fucking just offensive.
It's juvenile. I don't think
it's not offensive. It's juvenile.
Juvenile.
I'm using the wrong word. It is not offensive. I didn't do this. I'm
so
like,
dumb. Yeah.
Those assholes. Like, they're really. No, it's just like, grow up, guys. Like, come on. But what point was I making before we got on the Alien Resurrection?
I forget
thing,
it.
Kyle?
I'm sorry. Maybe it was my.
Oh, cameos.
Oh, yeah, cameos.
Fabio. So Fabio shows up where they're in the car.
Yeah.
And Fabio is just being a man driving a car, and that's it. Like, he doesn't have anything funny to do. He really just like looks and reacts and then drives off.
He says nothing. It is totally an obvious. It's just Fabio being Fabio.
And that's my issue. It's like, why the fuck would you have Fabio in this movie just as a joke? Is just, hey, it's Fabio. Like, it doesn't make sense. Like, when I like in my cameos for them to make sense and like be a play on the character. And
the
like,
joke, I don't think, is Fabio being Fabio. I think it's an elaborate setup to have Jesse and Chester make out.
The joke is two guys are kissing.
Yeah.
Fucking. Again. This is 2000s. This wasn't even the 80s or 90s. This is the fucking 2000s.
You couldn't have done that joke in the 80s or 90s, though, I don't feel. Like, people would have been really put off by it and upset about it.
So,
but, like,
they waited too long, and now they are past the point of it being, like, shocking or scandalous or even a joke. And it's just like, really?
It's just dumb. I
fucking hated this movie.
All of my defense of this movie is going to be that it's dumb. So, like, all right, so Fabio makes out with his girl, and so Jesse and Chester are like, oh, yeah, we got this. So they make out, and then they do the same stupid little head flop-up that Fabio did after he met. It's so dumb, and it's just, it's like, of course, where are we going to go from here? They're going to fucking make out. I don't know, man.
I hate this movie.
I'm going to keep defending.
All right. No, I'm not. I'm not done yet. I'm not. Fucking goddamn movie. All right, so the whole setup is they're idiots who don't fucking do anything except for solve a Rubik's Cube, which is absurd in the first place. But their gift for being kind of just idiot shitbags this whole movie is for their girlfriends to have bigger boobs.
Yeah.
That's the point of it all?
No, I don't think that's the point.
That's the point of it all.
No, because they...
How can you not say that when, like, several mentions are of the big-breasted slut aliens and they constantly call attention to the boobs and the breasts throughout? Jesse and Chester are constantly thinking of getting pleasured by these people. Like, Chester fucking dreams of that shit.
Twice.
And then they are rewarded with big tits because that's all that fucking matters is they have giant tits now. Happy ending.
That was the... that was. Again,
miserable shit pile.
It's made for teenage boys. Like, watching it again, I was like, of course, I was thinking, it's like, why wouldn't those necklaces make their asses bigger? That'd be what I'd be into. Like, who cares about titties? Who fucking cares? Give me that big old butt. But
Here you go. I'm just bitching at the movie, and I'm not putting out any solutions or problems, right? What you do for a fucking smart satire is you have the movie make fun of the characters. Like, this movie in The Hangover are very similar in, like, the fact that it revolves around a mystery of trying to find out what happened last night. But some of the characters are idiots, and they just kind of happen fart into situations that are comedic.
Like Zach Galifianakis, how he solves... He's, like, a genius, but he's also a fuck-up.
And
Chester's
it's absurd.
That way, too.
And it's
absurd.
But here's the difference. Is The Hangover, the joke is not, like, Zach Galifianakis is an idiot. It is... what Ed Helms and what Bradley Cooper think of him, and that they know he's an idiot, and that we as an audience know that people in this universe think this guy is an idiot. Aside from just, like, random passerbys and the old lady who tried to hit Jester, like, everybody is just, like, kind of whatever with these people. They're not, like, the... So, all right, I lost my train of thought because I'm, like... I have, like, a point A to point B to point C, and I'm getting myself mixed up. But you have, I don't know, you just, it feels like the director is winking at you in The Hangover. And he's like, yeah, I get it. These people are idiots. This director kind of shoots these people, Jesse and Chester, very sympathetically. And almost like they want you to relate to them.
I get that. They're definitely trying to make it relatable as the characters.
And I think you should be, because by telling you should relate to a character as a director, you're that empathy, you're somehow supporting that character and you're saying that's good. When I, as a viewer, I'm not speaking for all audiences because that's ignorant, #ignorant. When I cannot relate to that character, I can't invest in your movie, and therefore, like, I don't find the jokes with them funny because they are so different from me. And as a director, you have made it clear that you are 100% pro Jesse and Chester way of being, that it kind of just it kills any momentum or enthusiasm I have with this movie.
I think what this boils down to is the fact that at the end of the day, this is a different strokes, different folks type of thing, whereas you generally are not included within the target market for the audience they're trying to reach. And that's
fine. I'm over 12. You are also over 12.
I am.
Why do you like this movie?
Because, it's taking me back to a simpler, stupid time. Like, I'm not saying this movie is
amazing. But why
amazing.
Not pick, like, a movie with, like, a better soundtrack? or like more jokes. Or here's one more. Dude, where's my car? Dude, where's my fucking R? This movie's a fucking pussy PG-13 that's too tacit to like embrace anything raunchy or actually like relevant or clever to say. So they're just like, we're stoners, only because people say we're stoners. We don't ever show it because that'd be bad. Like,
they do show the dog getting stoned.
No, we'll just make up some fucking stupid phrase. What is it called? Shibby? Fuck that. Fuck Shibby. Fuck this movie.
Man, like, again.
It's the worst.
It's not the worst. It's way worse. No, way more pandering garbage. No.
In a year where I saw goddamn Batman versus Superman and I'm probably going to see Suicide Squad, this is going to be the worst movie I see all year. Like, it's bad. It's bad. And if you did not watch this movie when you were a teenager, I find it hard to believe you'll find any enjoyment in this now.
I could probably give you. Yeah. Because it's such a child of its times. It's not a timeless movie.
I'm glad you said child.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I think you're putting way too much into it. It's a dumb, stupid stoner comedy.
All right. But again, this is the big difference. All right, so Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle, which we'll talk about.
Rated R,
whatever. That doesn't even have to do anything.
That's my biggest thing.
No, that doesn't have anything to do with it right now.
I think it has a bigger part.
The point, that helps it. That does help it. But my point is, Dude, Where's My Car? Is just a dumb, stupid stoner movie. Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle is also just a dumb, stupid stoner movie. But the key difference is those characters are like minorities, and so you get this whole smart and actually really clever kind of race commentary. So instead of like Dude, Where's My Car, where you just have an Asian guy going like, and then, oh, me no see them last night, like the stupid, like really racist Asian shit, like in Harold and Kumar, Where's My Castle, like that's the joke, is that people think that way. And how fucking stupid are they? Like, the enemies in Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle are like white skinheads who are like extreme assholes. Or they're not
skinheads. I didn't think they were skinheads.
They're like the extreme.
Yeah, they like Doritos and Mountain Dew.
They're all white, and they make like the racist jokes to them. Like, oh, thank you very kindly. Please come back to my store. Like, that's the joke, is not like, hey, that's a funny voice. Like, they're really sticking it to them Arabs. Like, no. The joke is, people like this exist. Aren't they fucking ridiculous? Dude, Where's My Car? That whole commentary is gone. It is literally just like, ha, fucking Asian person talks funny. That's it. Women are sluts and bitches, and they have big tits, and the bigger the tits, the better. Ha, that's right. Ha, they're dumb. Stoners are so dumb. And so, That's right. For our fucking stoner movie September month, where we're celebrating stoner movies, right? Like, we do this piece of garbage cinema that not only is oppressively stupid, but it denounces stoners, essentially. Like, the movie is fucking really negative on the stoning. Not the stoning, but the smoking and pot. Like, so, I don't even see how people who are stoned would like this movie.
I don't know, man. Again, you have totally thoroughly broken down this movie.
I don't like it. I'm sorry.
But have not swayed me. I could go home and watch this again and laugh at it because, again, it's dumb, and I think there's a place for that in the world. Offensive or not, ridiculous or not, it's enjoyable. It brings me laughter. That's all that I fucking care about.
And kudos to you. Like, this podcast, like, we're kind of amping up our personalities and everything. Yeah. And like, I'm playing up like I'm super upset about this movie, but it's whatever. But I am genuinely glad that you like it. And I don't want to shit on it. I'm just.
No, you have. And that's fine.
I did shit on it.
I also have.
It also deserves it, though.
But. I mean, I wonder how much of this movie is like budget wise how it turned out, because I wonder how much it cost to get Sean William Scott and Ashton Kutcher and all of these people in the same movie. I mean, the script I totally feel could have done with a couple of rewrites. It was written by one guy. So
it doesn't feel like it. Felt like it was written by 10 guys.
And that they might have had a lot of ghost rewrites behind the screen that nobody gets credit for. I know that happens a whole lot.
Yeah.
But, you know, it, It's very scatterbrained. There is a lot of fucking weirdness. I do enjoy. I think the part with the nerds is fine. I think it's funny. I like what's her face, Gail the Snail. Is a great nerd.
I noticed her too. Yeah.
Yeah. And also the bald dude from 10 Items or Less, which was a TBS.
Is he the leader
sitcom
of the nerds at the beginning that you see? Yeah. Not Hal Sparks.
Exactly.
But
he's
like
the guy
the one driving the car.
Yeah,
I think
not driving, but the one sitting and explaining everything to you. I don't know, man. It's just I cannot restate enough how much it's just it's dumb and it's supposed to be mindless, I feel. And that's where, like, I agree with you. There are a lot of movies that do smart stoner comedies, but this is not one. This is just supposed to be dumb and mindless. And I think the funness, I keep coming back to Sean William Scott because you can tell when you watch this movie, he's having a blast doing this because he's not taking it very seriously, but he's doing a good job at what he's doing.
But would you like to go to, like, a theatrical production and just watch people on stage drinking and having a good time, but it's, like, they're not doing fucking anything worthwhile or, like, even enjoyable? It's like, well, you know, they were drinking, so they were having a good time, but, like, you know, they just stood there. They didn't really say anything, but, like, they had a good time. I just don't think that's a defense.
Fair enough. And I don't know.
And
man.
Like, I agree with you. I do think they were having a good time, as the outtakes showed. Like, it did look like they were having fun. I just wish they could have captured that and put it on the screen at any point.
There's a lot of this movie is based on character interactions and character reactions to the idiots that are presented as our two main leads. But yeah, overall, I will secede to you that it's weak. But again, it's not going for smart. It's pandering to a lowest common denominator.
Is this in your top three favorite stoner movies?
No, not at all.
So then why are we doing it for Stoner Movie September?
Because it's the first one and we got to start off with something, and our guests were unavailable for this week.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's what it really boiled down to. We had two that we're ready to go, but both those people are out of town currently. So we're going with Dude, Where's My Car? I mean, basically, that's it. I wish I had a better presentation for
fucking
just like the movie. Just like the movie itself, it was there, and we could do it. So, I mean, there's others that we'll get to, and I didn't expect you to like this one, so I didn't want to end with it. I want us to end strong. Maybe
we start off Stoner Movie September with me being a fucking buzzkill. Thanks, Kyle.
That's the way most stoner things go. You start out buzzkill, and then you got to smoke more to overcome that. So the whole rest of the month will be ending more strongly, I feel.
Sure.
Do we want to give any indication of what we got coming up for Stoner Movie September?
We can.
I mean, go ahead.
I don't remember now. All right, so I don't know if we have an order set out, but we are going to do Dazed and Confused.
Yep.
We are going to do Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle.
Yes, we are. I think that one, again, will just be you and I, so that'll be a fun one.
Harold and Kumar is you and I. That could be a good end one.
That's what I was thinking, too. We'll start it with this, and then we'll come back together with Harold and Kumar. So.
Sounds good. And then the other one is Half-Baked, right?
Half-Baked.
And then do we have three, or are we going to do a total of four or five?
Maybe five, because I know we've also got How High on the docket, starring Method Man and Red Man.
That was my suggestion.
Yeah.
All right, that's one. I might be eating crow. I loved that movie when I saw it. That might be one I think I go back to, and I do not like anymore.
I really enjoyed it as well, but again, I think it's the same boat as this one.
I think
it
might be.
It's just incredibly dumb and stupid, and that's all it needs to be.
Yeah.
You got to take it at face value. It's ridiculous. I'm trying to not say that word.
Retardiculous.
I'm trying to not say the harsh R anymore. I'm trying to push it out of my mind.
Oh, that's cool.
And push it out of my vocabulary. Because I don't know what people are dealing with out there. And I could see some people seeing it similarly as dropping hard N's or hard C's. So I'm doing
C word?
That would be a derogatory term for a Chinese person. Yeah, there you go. Also known as a in the armor of somebody. I don't know. But yeah.
Wait. Stop. Hold on. Did you had to cut that out of your vocabulary?
No, I haven't had to, but I'm saying some people seeing me.
I'm sorry. That's why I was so confused because I thought you were saying you're cutting these words out of your vocabulary.
I'm not I'm cutting.
I don't think I've ever used that word.
I'm cutting the harsh R out, but I could see how some people hearing me say the harsh R could interpret it as the same way as some people hearing the hard N or the hard C. That's what I was trying to
I kind of thought you were going with the female.
Oh, the clit. I'll say cunt all the time.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll drop cunt
all the
time.
Everybody knows clitter starts with a K.
Nobody should be offended by the word cunt. I don't know why cunt is the harsh word in America.
That's like a Jewish woman. Clitoris.
Clitoris.
That's offensive. Take that
out. No, we're keeping that in. I don't know why we're talking about this. We can totally cut all this bullshit out, too. It totally doesn't relate to this movie we talked about. I don't know where we're going with this. I'm blaming the champagne and I'm rambling.
You can. All right, so let's wrap this up real quick. Then, Kyle, I'm going to ask you one word. How would you review Dude, Where's My Car in one word? Because I've got mine.
In one word, I would say dumb.
Yeah, and this is, you and I disagreed this whole entire podcast.
Yep.
This is where we all agree. My word would be juvenile.
I would agree with that word. It's very juvenile too, but it's dumb, it's juvenile, it's stupid.
I think
but
it just
I like
depends
it.
On how you view it.
Same exact words I feel, but you don't like it.
Yeah.
And fair enough, man.
Yeah, again, it sounds like for every all the reasons you like it are all the reasons I don't.
Yeah.
So like we kind of are on the same page in that way. We just
different strokes, different folks. Different I really outcomes. Enjoy the times when we don't agree. Because it's fun. Because one of us is going to go off
like
on
I'm
a tangent.
I'm going to be an asshole. And then like everybody's like, oh, Ryan's all negative. Oh, look, pretentious
I hate on shit
fucking
too.
Ryan.
I would say that one. Pretentious fucking
I'm sorry
Ryan.
That I like things that are fucking better than Dude, Where's My Car and Batman versus Superman. I'm sorry. Versus, no.
V.
Because we're fucking serious in DCville.
This is a courtroom.
Eat a dick, DC Universe.
Yeah, you are so screwing
you
the
shit
pooch.
The bed.
I am curious to talk to you when you do finally see Suicide Squad.
I'm sure I'm not going to like it, and that's why I have not seen it in a theater.
Yeah. And that's fine. I just want to see if you feel it's better or worse than BVS.
That is the big question.
Yep. So I think we should talk about it, but that'll be something later on. Well, after this, joyful. Boy, what the fuck?
We'll do DC December.
Okay, maybe.
In which we watch Batman and Robin.
Oh, God. Okay.
Catwoman.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
And then we play, like, Superman 64.
Okay.
And then what's another shitty game they did?
Aquaman.
Oh, Aquaman. That for Xbox.
Garbage.
Yeah, that's right. There you go.
Pretty garbage.
That's our DC December.
So we're starting off this hashtag stoner movie September month on a negative note. Very similar to the first time that you get stoned. You don't really enjoy it or appreciate it. You don't feel it, I guess, is the common trope about smoking weed the first time.
Mm-hmm.
First time out the gate, nothing spectacular. But I got an idea later on, it's going to be a lot better.
Are you just saying this episode is not very spectacular?
I'm saying that we weren't totally on the page, on the same page. So
I think the analogy falls apart. And there is as much thought put into that analogy as Dude, Where's My Heart?
Dude, Where's My Whore?
Dude, Where's My Car on a hole, and I fucking said har.
Oh, it's very similar to how
har,
sound,
har, har
sound
is
engineer
a laugh
Andrew
sound,
comes.
Which is what you would not be hearing if you were to watch me watch Dude, Where's My Car.
I fucking laughed the entire time watching this. So.
Were you on fucking pain medication?
No, I was. I didn't. I had one beer.
Tryptophan?
No. But there we go. Thank you guys. As always, we're going to shut the fuck up so we can get on to bigger and better episodes of this. Spectacular stoner movie September. That's the hashtag. It's going to go nowhere, but that's the one we're fucking using. So, at the
hashtag
end of the day,
more moils.
God, we're trying to erase that from history. We're totally cutting it. It's out.
I think you should just leave in the more moils and nothing else.
Okay,
and people's
fair enough.
Minds will go crazy. And then they'll Google it and they'll see.
At the end of the day, it was a good discussion, Ryan. I'm sorry you didn't like it as much as I did. Hopefully we'll be on the next page or on the same page with the next one. I keep fucking up this page reference, but good talking to you, buddy.
Yeah.
And dude, where's my outro? That's really bad.
I'm sorry. You could do something with Shibby.
Shibby.
Yeah, or yeah, just say shibby. Yeah, end it with that. Whatever.
I am Kyle. He's Ryan. We're the Experience Grind Podcast. Shibby.
What's mine say? I'm Kyle. What's mine say?
I'm Ryan.
That fucking even took more thought than this goddamn movie.
That's really good, though.
Hashtag
I like that.
Measles.
Thank you, guys.
Memorial.
This is the end. Bye.
Hi, this is Ryan, and if you liked what you just saw or listened to, please check us out at experiencegrind.com. Find us on facebook.com/experiencegrind, at Twitter, over at twitter.com/expgrindpodcast, where Kyle's tweeting out a lot of stuff all the time. And then you can always find us, our podcast, on iTunes, Stitcher, Twitch, or even on YouTube. Find us, just search Experience Grind Podcast. We don't have a channel yet. Stuff super easy to find. But please subscribe. We'll get there to you, make it even easier. And as always, if you like what you saw, we cover mini games and episodes every week. There's sure to be something you love. And as always, grind out.